Hello, this is Dr. Sandra Cabot. I've been a medical doctor for over 40 years. I've always believed in the power of nutritional medicine. And I'm joined once again by superb naturopath Margaret Dusinska, who is a leading academic, author of several books on health. And we're going to share with you a very, very important question. What type of diabetes do you have? Welcome, Margaret.
Hi, Dr. Cabot, and thank you for your creative introduction.
Not at all. I'm being modest about you. For many years, I have been treating diabetics, type 1 and type 2, and those who are in between, because there's actually five stages of diabetes. But one thing I've found that often confuses patients and doctors alike is whether the patient has type 1 diabetes or type 2 diabetes. Now, type 1 is where there is a lack of the hormone insulin. So the patient must have insulin to achieve proper blood control. The patient must have insulin to achieve proper control of blood sugars. Type 2 is very different to type 1 diabetes. Why? Well, type 2, the patient often has too much insulin, but the insulin doesn't work because the patient's cells are resistant to the insulin. So this is a very interesting contrast, really, that people don't think about enough. And indeed, Margaret, you recently wrote an article about this.
Yes, I did, for our liverdoctor.com website, because an increasing number of adults are actually being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and most doctors just don't expect it. They just assume, well, type 1 diabetes occurs in childhood, you're an adult, you couldn't possibly have that. And so patients are just assumed to have type 2 diabetes and given the treatment for that, and often it's not particularly successful at controlling their blood sugar, but the patient is never really given the investigations they need. And one particular recent study showed that approximately 70% of new diagnoses of type 1 diabetes are in those over the age of 30 years. So, you know, type 1 diabetes, there are degrees of it. You know, if it's diagnosed in young children, it tends to be severe, and there's often like a 5-day hospital stay involved. But if it occurs in adults, it comes on a bit more gradually.
Yes, and it's very important to do a 2-hour glucose tolerance test and measure the insulin levels as well as the blood sugar levels during that 2-hour test. So the patient is given a glucose load, they're fasting when they're given that glucose load, it's a very sweet drink, and then their blood sugar levels and their blood insulin levels are measured either every half an hour or every hour, depending on the laboratory, for 2 hours. Now, in a normal person, the insulin level will go up to around 50, 60 at the most. In someone who is a type 2 diabetic, in other words, they're very insulin resistant, their level may go up to 150, 200, 300, 400, way above normal. And really in anyone, once it goes above 80, it does indicate some degree of insulin resistance. In contrast, if someone who is a type 1 diabetic, their insulin level will not go up very much at all. It may get to 10 or 20, at the most 30, but their blood sugar level goes very, very high, way above normal. So in other words, their pancreas is not able to produce enough insulin to control their blood sugar levels.
Yes, that's a brilliant test because it's crystal clear then if you see a report like that.
Yeah, and then the patient will never get better with drugs. They need the hormone insulin because the cause of their high blood sugar is lack of insulin. But a lot of people who are in this grey area, you know, they are type 1, but they're not a bad type 1. They're still
producing
some insulin.
Exactly. It's not complete pancreatic failure.
Yeah.
And so the term that's often used is LADDER, latent autoimmune diabetes of adulthood, because it doesn't exactly fit the classic picture of the type 1 diabetes that we see in children. So the pancreas can still produce some insulin, but it's not doing a good enough job of controlling their blood sugar, and they're not responding well to the oral diabetes medication.
Correct. They don't respond very well to the oral drugs for diabetes, and there's many, many new drugs that we have now for type 2 diabetics that work on the pancreas, or they work on the liver, they work on the gut. But in someone who doesn't produce enough insulin, they don't work very well. And yet the patient often goes on for years with poor blood sugar control, and so they're getting damage to their organs, such as their kidneys, their nerves, their liver, and their nervous system, of course, you know, their brain. So it's very, very important to control the blood sugar levels. So that's why in these people who don't produce enough insulin, we must give them some insulin. And usually an injection of a long-acting insulin like Lantus will make a big difference. I had a patient the other day who'd been a type 1 diabetic for about 30 years and was in complete denial of that because she had the wrong belief that insulin was a drug, and once you got on it, you couldn't get off it and it would damage her and whatever. So she did everything not to start insulin, and her blood sugar levels were remaining at 16, 17, 18. She was very, very sick all the time. And I did a glucose tolerance test, found that she was really producing negligible insulin from her pancreas, finally convinced her to take insulin, and now her morning blood sugar levels are 6, and they're in the normal range. And she realised that, you know, she was scared of the wrong thing. She was scared of insulin, which was the thing that was going to save her life and add many years to her life. So it's very important to have this test, this glucose tolerance test with insulin levels, if you are in a grey area, not sure if you're a type 1 or a type 2 diabetic, you're a mature age and you're not overweight, you're far more likely to be a type 1 diabetic if you're slim.
Yes, and really most doctors won't order that blood test of their own accord, so you may have to ask for the glucose tolerance test with insulin.
Yes, definitely demand it. Demand it. And, you know, if your insulin level only goes up to about 20 or 30 and your blood sugar level goes through the roof, you need insulin. You'll never be any good if without insulin. Now, if you're type 2 and you've got insulin resistance, it's completely different, and there are drugs that can help, but there's also some very good supplements that can help to your insulin to work better so your blood sugar is controlled.
Yes, that's right. And the one that I often start my patients off on is magnesium. And so magnesium helps improve insulin sensitivity. So if you get more magnesium into your body, then the insulin that is in your body will work better, so you won't have to release as much of it, and you can have better control of your blood sugar. And magnesium has so many other benefits as well. It relaxes you, relaxes your nervous system, your muscles. It's good for improving sleep quality, improving stress. And really, when patients are stressed, their blood sugar often gets higher.
That's right. Magnesium, the miracle mineral. You won't believe the difference it makes to your health. Wonderful.
Really? Yep,
I agree. And then we've also got a glycemic balance, which is a very good formula to help insulin to work better. And that's a combination of herbs and chromium, lipoic acid. It's a very good formula. And also berberine. Margaret, you like to mention how that can help blood sugar.
Yes, I love to mention berberine. So berberine is a plant extract. It's found in several different plants. You can find it concentrated in capsule form. And look, it really addresses all the metabolic dysfunctions that are present in type 2 diabetes. So it helps to reduce insulin resistance, so the insulin works better. It helps to lower blood sugar if it is elevated. It helps to lower cholesterol and triglycerides if you've got too much of the wrong blood fats. And berberine helps with weight loss. I have so many patients that do nothing else with their diet except take berberine, and well, they've lost several kilos already the next time I see them.
Margaret is a poster girl for berberine. She looks fabulous, very slim. And don't
take berberine. There are diabetics in my family. I take it.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, don't forget your liver. Now, type 2 diabetics often have a fatty liver, but type 1 diabetics can get a fatty liver too if they don't look after their liver by having lots of green leafy salads, lots of vegetables, good quality protein, and a little bit of raw juicing. But don't put too much fruit in it. Just juice the vegetables or make a vegetable smoothie. So there you go, some insight into diabetes. It can be complex, but it's very, very important to find out what type of diabetes you have. Only then can it be successfully treated therefore avoiding the complications of this awful disease.
Dr. Gabeau and I have written a book together called Diabetes Type 2, You Can Reverse It Naturally. And in that book, there are food lists. What are the best foods to eat? What are the foods that are best minimized in your diet? There's an eating plan. There are supplement, nutritional, lifestyle tips. Really, everything that you need to know if you do have type 2 diabetes. It will help you get better blood sugar control and lose weight. And really, in the majority of cases, type 2 diabetes can be reversed if it's caught early enough, of course.
That's right. And type 1 diabetes can be treated very, very successfully using insulin, but also nutritional medicine and supplements are very, very important. And don't forget, you can email us if you have any health questions, confusions, and you want our help. We have a free health advisory service. Just email us. Our wonderful team of Margaret Jasinska, Louise Bell, Jessa, Victoria Taylor. We're all here to help you. So thanks for listening and talk again soon.